I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We've got such an important show for you today. I really believe by the time we're done, you're going to feel like you had, you know, just a moment of rest in God's presence. In fact, I want you right now, just do me a favor, take a deep breath in. Hold it for a moment, and then exhale. You know, Jesus invites you to rest and to know that unforced rhythm of grace where there's an ebb and a flow to your life. And I often on this show talk about the condition of our soul because Jesus cared so much about the condition of our soul. It is wise for us to pay attention to what's going on in our soul. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest to your soul. I'm going to restore your soul. Maybe yours is not a weariness from overcommitment. Maybe you're just weary from the chaos of the culture. But either way, your soul needs rest. Well, you must know God is all about that for you. I'm so excited to talk to Curtis Zachary today. We're talking about his 40-day devotional, Finding Soul Rest, 40 Days in Connecting with Christ. I got to do a Facebook Live interview with Curtis 2 years ago, and about a year ago, I tried 10 times to get him on the show, but his schedule was busy. So I'm so excited to talk to him today. And what we have today is a gift bundle, 4 packs, all right? So we've got the book, Soul Rest, and then the 40-day devotional, Finding Soul Rest. 4 of you will win that bundle. And if you need rest, you want this book. It's so wise, so insightful. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. I'm just excited to give you a gift today. I think we all need it. Quick announcement before we hear from Curtis. Mark your calendars for this Sunday night. Sunday night, November 15th, we've got a live stream event. It's free. I'm talking with Dr. Troy, and we're going to talk about the power of a grateful life, the genius in God's design for us to be grateful, the impact of us physiologically, mentally, spiritually. Dr. Troy's clinic is giving away almost $2,000 of services, and then we've got some other really fun gift bundles for you. Mark your calendar. More information is on myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Curtis Zachary has served in various ministry and leadership roles over the last 20 years, including church planting, pastoring, and speaking on rest, the kingdom of God, and the beauty of the gospel. He and his wife, Monique, have 2 sons, Noah and Micah, and they live in the beautiful Franklin, Tennessee area. Welcome, Curtis. So good to chat with you again.
So excited to be with you, for sure.
Looking forward to the conversation. So we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been pondering, sitting with these days you can share with us.
Yeah, I love just the premise that you love to start every day talking scripture. Let's just start there and say that's amazing. I think it's so important, and the richness that the scriptures provide to us are such a gift, and I pray that we lean in to that resource more often. I think for me, it's interesting. God has been kind of bouncing me around in a couple of different areas. But the thing that immediately came to mind when you asked is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul is giving some encouragement and instruction around what it means to follow the way of Jesus. And he says, I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father when I preached to you the gospel. Therefore, be imitators of me. And what's really been hitting me lately is how many different voices there are when it comes to guidance and direction around the things of God and even talking about Jesus. But for our health and life and flourishing development, we need fathering in our discipleship. We need to be grown and nurtured in the way of what it means to follow him. That verse has just been ever present on my mind over the last few weeks.
Wow, that is absolutely powerful. Thank you for that. Well, I would love for you to give a little backstory, a little context about how rest became such a central theme for you in your ministry.
Yeah, well, I think the quickest way to say it is my wife and I moved to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area in California, and we're going to help a friend who had recently planted a church. We went with open hands to be available however God would choose to use us. And we quickly saw that the type of work we were doing was really good work for God. And we were walking alongside homeless friends who were looking for a place to live. We had a lot of friends who were dealing in recovery issues, friends who were re-entering society from prison. And so we knew the work that we were doing was good. The only problem was for me, I started to recognize very quickly within about a year that it didn't feel sustainable to continue doing what we were doing. You know, it wasn't unheard of for us to have somebody come at 3:30 in the morning and knock on our door and say, hey, we need help, or we need a place to stay, or I'm in trouble. And so it felt like it was a 24/7 kind of thing. And although we knew it was important and meaningful, I just didn't know if I could keep doing it. And what I started to recognize was so much of my ability to sustain really came down to my own willpower, my own strengths, my own abilities. And I knew that that needed to change. At the same time, my wife and I were hopeful to have children, and we had two miscarriages within about a 7-month period. And the second one was very close to Christmas and further into the pregnancy, and it was absolutely devastating. Mm. And the third component was in the midst of the wrestle and the tension of those first two things, we felt just terribly alone. You know, I would at times find space to be able to express what I was feeling, and I would invite somebody into it, and they would say something to me to the effect of, well, you're the person that we would normally talk to when we're in trouble, so we don't know what to say. So it felt like everybody just kind of took their hands off and took a step back. And so I say the three things that I've just explained to you converging together ultimately led to the awareness that something needed to change. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I needed to step back and ask God to show me what it meant to believe that he was enough, not work for him, but to be with him. And so that started the journey for me, and it unfolded from there.
And really, the fruit of that is the wisdom in this book. So for you, I've got plenty of quotes and points that I'm going to pull out of the book, but just if you give a synopsis of what did healing look like? What kind of life adjustments did you need to make, and how soon before you started to feel a little bit of wind in your sails again?
Yeah, so if I were to summarize what the biggest reckoning point was, it comes from a quote from a man named Soren Kierkegaard. And he says, it is absolutely unethical when one becomes so busy communicating that he forgets to be what he teaches. And I think that's where my point of awareness began. I needed to realize, what does it look like for Jesus to be enough, not to do work for him or to have my identity and value be woven into what I could perform, but just to be his child, to be with him. And that's the beginning. And restoration began to look like the understanding in the narrative of Scripture and the intimate times in prayer and by the leading of the Spirit to be reminded of my worth and my value, not because of my productivity, but because of my sonship, because of him being my covering and my care. And it really required some introspection and some confession. It required for me to be honest with what I was feeling. It required lament to bring my full self before God and to invite his restoration, not for me to try to figure it out myself, but to wait and to be still and to allow him to do the work that only he could do by his hand.
Beautiful. You say this, I've come to discover that no matter who we are or where we come from, we cannot maintain health and life the way God intends by our strength alone. It's interesting, though, Curtis, we so often default to our strength alone. We have a saving knowledge. We've secured our eternity, and then we try to finish what he started. Why do we do that?
Yeah, I think it's really important for us to understand the type of gospel that Jesus preached. And that sounds funny to say, but it actually tells us in Matthew chapter 4 what kind of gospel Jesus preached. And it says there that Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And that's a really interesting insight for followers of Jesus, because number one, it tells us what kind of gospel he preached. But then number two, that means we should be preaching the same kind of gospel. So then it should beg the question, well, what is the gospel of the kingdom? And what I think Jesus represented in his life on earth was for us to understand that he is the way, the truth, the life. There is no salvation except through him. But also, when asked, how do you pray, he would say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he was wanting us to be aware that eternity wasn't just about later on after you die being with God, but knowing that, knowing Jesus on earth, as it says in John 17, it begins our journey in the kingdom while we are here. So inviting his presence, knowing that life lived here on earth can be full of flourishing if we remain connected to the source of life. Without that, we're only subject to what we can do to earn our way toward righteousness before God, and also to show our productivity and our representation of him in our lives.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what might be the signs, not only of burnout, but that maybe you're just on the rumble strips, that your soul might need some tending. And, you know, as we're going to break, I just want to just confess to you, as with the season that we're in, I can always tell when things are taking a toll, when you feel that, you feel this kind of the soul weariness. And what I identified for me was all of the yelling and everybody saying, this is what every Christian should be. This is what every Christian should be doing. And I've lived long enough when I start to hear those messages, every Christian should be doing this right now, that our walk with God is nuanced. And as I went back to Psalm 23, I remembered, you know, there's times to lie down in green pastures. There's times to rest by still waters. There's times to run to the battle line. Times to hang in there in the dark valley of the soul. We're all in different places. And so tucking myself back under the wing of God and saying, what does obedience look like here, Lord? How can I honor you? What does faith look like? I mean, instantly peace and replenishment came back to my soul. And I just say that in case you need to hear that today. And I would love for you to chime in. What does your soul need right now? What does your soul need? Would you text me? 877-933-2484. And if you want in on the drawing, we've got a great drawing for you today, a book and a 40-day devotional, Finding Soul Rest. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. With you when you can sense him, and when you can't, he's with you. He goes before you. He goes behind you. He puts his hand of blessing upon your head. That's Psalm 139:5. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Curtis Zachary. He's written an incredible book, and now a new devotional. It's a companion devotional talking about soul rest. So two questions for you. One, if you want in on the drawing for the book Devo Combo, text the word book to 877-933-2484. But as you know, texting me is one of my love languages, so I want you to chime in. Tell me what your soul needs right now. I just love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. So, Curtis, what are some signs that we might be on the road to burnout, or at least on the rumble strips, that our soul needs some tending?
It's one of those kind of questions, I think, where it feels like there's a natural sense that it should be pretty complicated to diagnose, but I honestly feel like for myself and for many that I talk to, it's pretty obvious to us even without the question needing to be asked. I mean, I think one of the things that's very apparent for me is that you find yourself just very restrictive when it comes to the exhibiting of the fruit of the Spirit of God. I mean, The attributes that come into your life as a result of the source of life, the Spirit of God, as it talks about in Galatians, are clear representation of what it means to be connected. And some of us, as it says earlier in that chapter, that our flesh and our spirit are at war continually, are starting to see the suppression of the goodness of what comes from knowing God and being connected to His Spirit. And we find ourselves laughing less. We're very serious and very somber, not just in places of consideration, but it seems almost that we can't climb out of this place of heaviness. We find ourselves withdrawing from community. We're not allowing ourselves to be seen and known. And I think these are just a few things that might start to arise. And I do honestly feel like the physical nature of fatigue is something that we need to pay attention to as well.
Wow, very good. You say that oftentimes when we discover that these things in our lives are sort of out of rhythm with God, our natural tendency is to go outward and upward when it might actually be time to go inward and downward. Say more about that.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things that I had to discover in my journey toward finding rest. I think my natural tendency in my faith journey has been to, when I acknowledge something that is a bit off, I'll confess that, whether to some friends or to God himself, and say, Lord, I don't want this to be a part of my life. And then I will immediately go outward with it and then upward. Lord, take it away. I want you to do a new work. I want you to change my heart. I want you to make me new, which is obviously a beautiful and an important thing to do. But I think some of us, if we're honest, end up in these cycles or these cyclical places where things that we offer up to God, we continue to see reintroduce themselves into our lives. And I think what I had to learn as a vital part of that journey was to go inward to examine what I'm really feeling around those things, not just what is the thing that's difficult, but why do I feel or what do I feel around those things? Then go down to the bottom, the root system. Where are those things coming from? And to be honest, the reason that's not regularly a part of our vernacular or our conversation is because it's terrifying, because we're not sure what it will reveal to us. And it's hard work to take the time to do that, to give ourselves that permission. But when we do that, when we go before God, when we go outward and upward, we're bringing the full self before God with the opportunity for him to do the work that he needs to do in our lives, understanding where and why we need healing.
Boy, good. Very good. This dear listener says, God's been prompting me for a while to be still, to be spiritually refreshed, and to hear from him. I was diagnosed with a positive COVID test a few days ago, unable to work. Even so, I've been thanking God for the time alone to dig deeper into his word and just soak in his love during this time. Well, I appreciate that, Tracy. You want to say anything to her?
Absolutely. I think in Psalm 23, you know, there's a part of that very famous passage where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And whether it's a COVID diagnosis or maybe a loss of a job, which all of these things perceptibly on the surface are only terrible and bad, can be redeemed in a sense that they allow for us to take that step to be still. And when we are made to lie down, we are asking different questions than when we're on the move. And I think the gift of a season like this is the consideration of what we just talked about, this introspection, this inward travel to examine what I'm really feeling. I can't medicate. I can't move to try to numb certain things. I have to be still inside of where I am and then bring that full self before God. So in that being made to lie down, there is a gift in the midst of the difficulty.
You know, someone once said that anger is a secondary emotion, and it comes from one of three primary emotions, fear, hurt, or frustration. And I'm thinking of all the anger that we see, Curtis, in the world, but really among Christians, that is alarming. You know, we can be angry but not sin, but there's a hurtful anger. And I've been praying and thinking about that, and I would love for you to talk about, let's say it's fear for many people. How does fear impact the condition of our soul? Because on one hand, of course, you want to be discerning of the times and the gravity of what's going on. But as you say, when it moves us into a place where we're bearing the kind of fruit that is not evidenced in the fruit of the Spirit, we maybe ought to look at that. So let's go here. Talk about fear and its impact on the soul.
Yeah, fear is an interesting thing because when you boil it all the way down to its most simple understanding, fear is not feeling secure or not feeling safe. So if you carry that logical thought all the way to its conclusion, what makes you feel safe or what makes you feel secure? When you have a covering, when you are protected, when you have solidity, when you have sustenance. And I think partly what we are seeing, and it goes way back to the beginning of our conversation when we talked about Scripture. To be honest, some of us are manifesting or representing these attributes of our character simply because we don't have the substance and sustenance to give us the security and the solidity that comes with our anchoring. It says in Hebrews 6, we need an anchor for the soul. And I think the scriptures and the filling that comes with time and communion with God, the laying before God and allowing him to fuel and fill our lives by his spirit, I think sometimes we're operating in the name of God without the sustenance that comes with being connected to God. So therefore, we're subject to all of these whims and ideas that are, quite frankly, as Christian people, still human-centered. And so in that, obviously, we're going to have representations that are characteristics of our fleshly. You know, right before, I just talked about Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, right before that, there's a set of verses that say there are fruit that come from the flesh, too. And I think we as Christians need to know that that same list of fruit can come from our lives as well if we're not grounded. So that's where I think fear for us can be a representation of, well, we need security, solidity, partly. Think about the response to political conversations or any of the tensions that we see. Obviously, fear will drive if we don't feel like there's security beyond these ideologies or these things that are very human-centered. So when you see the people who feel calm inside of all this, it's usually because they have a robust rhythm of rest, a robust rhythm of connectedness and spirituality that comes from scripture and meditation and prayer, because they're saying, my security is not in this stuff, it's in him.
Everything you said is pure gold. And I think, wow, Lord, let every Christian hear what you just said. Because, you know, and it's also just a motivator for us to cultivate intimacy now, cultivate rest now, because the storms reveal, I always say, the lies we believe and the truths we need. And I've seen a stark contrast between those who are saying, yes, these are trying times, but I know my God. I know him and I know he'll be faithful. And those who, the uglies are coming out like crazy. And I think it should be a loving confrontation and invitation to us to examine our hearts so we can walk more intimately with God.
Yeah.
My goodness, I love what you just said. We have a break coming up here in a moment, but I got to read this. Psalm 139 reminds us that inviting God to reveal to us our inner reality leads us to receive clarity of the next right steps in our lives. It's good for us to know where we are so we can understand where we need restoration. I love that, but you got about a minute. Can you comment a little bit more on that?
Yeah, minutes, kind of a short time.
So we'll jump in and end it on the other side for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just very quickly, when we go to the doctors and we have some kind of problem happening with us, and let's just say it's very real, very serious, some pain that is really troubling us. But when we finally get to the point where we're asking for help, we don't offer up the fullness of what we're experiencing. We just kind of say, oh, I'm having some headaches. Well, the doctor's only going to be able to prescribe based upon what you've said. But what if you offer up, no, these are very scary headaches and they're leading to these very real symptoms. Now it escalates the ability to be able to treat what we're dealing with. And I think sometimes, even though God knows everything, we withhold parts of our journey from him as though we need to try to manicure or curate what we're offering up to God in the realness of our soul. And I think it's important for us to lay bare before him what is actually true, so that we're inviting the permission for him to do the work that he needs to do and only he can do.
Oh, that's just powerful. Talking to Curtis Zachary, I love this guy, and I want to know, if you don't mind sharing, what's going on in your soul? If you can be honest, I don't need to read your name if you'd prefer not. We've got a great bundle to give away, Curtis's Devo and his book, Soul Rest. Text book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Come and rest at my feet. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I just want you to pause for a moment and picture it. Whatever state your soul is in right now, and however worked up you are about the times we're in and whatever's going on in your personal life, what if you were to be able to tuck away a little bit and let God bring rest to your soul? He wants to do that. He restores our soul. And it matters that we don't postpone that for the vacation we hope to take in 2022. He wants to bring rest to your soul right now. I'm so grateful you tuned in today talking to Curtis Zachary. He's written a book, Soul Rest, and now a companion devotional, 40 Days of Connecting with Christ, titled Finding Soul Rest. I'm thrilled that we get to offer a book and Devo combo to four of you. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So I want to revisit this point that we started on before the break, Curtis, because it's way too good to pass by too quickly. You write, Psalm 139 reminds us that inviting God to reveal to us our inner reality leads us to receive clarity of the next right steps in our lives. It's good for us to know where we are so we can understand where we need restoration. And you likened it to going to the doctor and not really giving a full report of what's going on. And though God knows everything, us holding out really impacts us.
Yes. And I think there are so many different analogies that come to my mind, because we need to know in proximity where we are if we have any hope of, number one, getting to where we want to go, and two, just having any sort of grid or understanding on what it will take to get there. And I think, you know, so often in my life, I've found myself in places where I've either been exhausted or overwhelmed and know that something needs to change, but not know exactly what that thing is. But when I take the time to get a real hold of, okay, where am I? What's happening? What's going on? Let me try to get some bearings so that I can look ahead and say, even if it feels insurmountable, or even if I feel like it's going to be a difficult process, I'm at least aware of what direction I need to head in and what it will take. And I think sometimes for us as followers of Jesus, we feel like either A, we should know already, so therefore if we have any sort of mystery around what's going on inside of us, we don't give ourselves the permission to be able to do the work to look inward. So out of shame or out of guilt, we just kind of say, well, let me put my head down and just keep moving forward. Or we feel like if I bring myself fully before God, will he accept me? Like, will he take me in the condition that I am? And when it comes to this idea of rest, some of us who are experiencing burnout or fatigue or disillusionment, or we have hard questions, we might feel like we are failing as Christians. So to go before God and ask for him to bring the restoration we need, is that even possible? And to that question, I say, absolutely, yes. That's what he's waiting for in our lives.
It's so beautiful. Let's talk for a moment about the soul that's always bracing for impact. This dear listener said, my soul is in anguish, fear, anxiety that my wife's going to slip into a deep, dark depression again. It haunts me every day. She's doing okay now, but the thought is always there. And, you know, I'm someone who's battled chronic health issues my whole life. It took me a lot of years to not be bracing for impact all the time because of, you know, symptoms that creep up all the time. I don't live bracing for impact. I started to pay attention to the toll it takes on the soul. But when you walk through that even one time that this listener walked through, you can imagine how hard it is to try to imagine going through it again. So what do you say to the soul who's been traumatized by something super hard that God allowed? How do you not live bracing for impact?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that we need to continually do as followers of Jesus is remind ourselves of the truth of God's desire for humanity on earth. And there are so many scriptures, predominantly in the Gospels, but certainly when Paul would talk, where he describes this importance of flourishing. He is showing that God's intention for humanity is that we would be flourishing. I think about Colossians 2, therefore, as you are receive Christ Jesus, walk with him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So that's a reminder. John 15 from Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who remains in me bears fruit. He flourishes. So this intention for God, from God for humanity, is that we would be flourishing. And what you're describing, and I've experienced this myself, is We find ourselves flinching against a punch that may never come. And because we've been hit before, it causes us to live in this perpetual state of having our guard up. And when we have our guard up, we're not able to fully flourish. We're not able to live as God intended. And so the reminder of God's intention that we would flourish is important because it reminds and tells our souls what is true. Because if we're not careful, when we're living in that perpetual state of guardedness, we start to believe that that's what God actually wants for us. We start to think that God wants us to live in this shielded, guarded way. But when we remind ourselves, no, flourishing is his intention, it causes me to slowly start to lower my hands, even though I'm aware of what it felt like to be hurt in the past. God is saying the way that health and life and goodness will come is as a result of my flourishing, and it will require for me to trust. And that's what it comes down to with every single one of these things that we wrestle with. Do we trust that God is enough? That's the reckoning point for all of us.
Beautiful. Wow. Wonder if you would pray for this dear listener. Let's just call him John. Would you pray for him?
Man, I'd be honored. I love God, the opportunity in the moment to just lay before you the reality of our desperate need for your move, for your life, for your goodness to come into our situation. We all understand, God, that our words are limited and are, quite frankly, empty without the power of your Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so in all of this, rather than offering up encouragement, God, we just beg and pray the move of your Spirit on his behalf, into his heart, into his life, to bring the rest and the peace that comes from supernatural sources, which you tell us in your word, God, is available to us. You tell us, God, that there is a peace that goes beyond human understanding. And I'm praying that for this man and his family in this season, filled with tension, filled with chaos. I pray for a supernatural peace that would transcend our own human understanding, and that he would rest in knowing that you see him, that you know him, that you hear him, and that you love him in this moment. Jesus.
Thank you,
name.
Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Pray you're listening still, friend. I pray you heard that prayer. And anybody else, you can borrow that prayer for yourself as well. But I think what Curtis is saying here is I just challenge you to say out loud to your own ears, hear it, and your heart believes it. God wants me to flourish. God wants me to flourish. I think when you do that, Curtis, you start to see other thoughts and actions and postures that are incongruent with that. I think it's easier to identify if God wants me to flourish, I can't live always bracing for impact. If God wants me to flourish, staying in a perpetual state of angst and anger is not helping. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's been helpful to me is the adjustment of my hopefulness from God for the way that I will live. So often I find myself praying for more of his presence, more of his love and life. And what I realize is the scripture tells me over and over again, I have everything that I need for life and godliness. I am a son and I am an heir because of his work on the cross. My biggest issue is not that I need more of him. My issue is identifying the barriers to intimacy with him, and also identifying the things that are causing the grieving of those things in my life or the suppression. So really, what you're talking about is this prayer of identification of what is keeping me from experiencing what is already true about my life and really my affections and what I value. My life is displaying those things over and over again. And what I need God to do is make clear to me those areas. And once I identify them, I need to lay them before God so that I am confessing, I am open, I am honest about those things, and I'm allowing his Spirit the permission to have his way in every area, every aspect of my life.
Somebody's got to give me an amen. You got to text me an amen. This is so powerful, and I know I'm not the only one. We got a lot of texts coming in for people wanting the book, but tell me that this is ministering to your heart, because it sure is mine, and it just can't be about me all the time. Anyway, oh my goodness, I love it so much. Well, this is also what you write. I love this, Curtis. You said, when my heart is filled with gratitude and my thoughts are filled with thankfulness, listen to this, friends, it produces rest in my life. When my heart is filled with gratitude and my thoughts with thankfulness, It produces rest in my life. Before I focus on what I want and what I need, I'm encouraged and grateful for what I have. Sing more if you would.
Yeah, I think it's the very simple imagery that you have of children. You know, I have two little kids. I have a 6-year-old and I have a 2-year-old. And I learned so much about my relationship with God from those two little boys. And it is such a gift to me. And one of the things that I see so often with children is the longing for what we don't have, regardless of what we have right in front of us. And the way that plays out in practical ways is I have a 6-year-old who has a 2-year-old little brother, and his 2-year-old toys are not readily appealing to him, left to his own devices. But when he sees his brother playing with something that he doesn't have, all of a sudden he wants that thing. And he is discontent with what he already has in his possession, even if it's something that's better for him, even if it's something that's more suited for him, even though it's something that he has really wanted for a long time. He simply overlooks what he has for the sake of something someone else has, even if it's not that great. And I think that's the way that we live so often. We don't take the time to mark moments of gratitude and thankfulness for what we have, even if it's as simple as I have my health, I have my life in a season where a lot of people are sick, a lot of people are going through difficult times. The ability to say I have what I need reminds me that, yeah, it's okay to have an aspiration or a desire for other things, but rather than that aspiration or that desire controlling my life, now it just becomes a data point in my life alongside of the things that I already know I'm appreciative of.
Boy, very good. If you don't mind, we've got another person who needs some prayer. This dear listener said, I'm struggling with marriage, with Lyme disease, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And just so you know, Curtis, the Lyme and the chronic inflammatory are my two issues. So this, I appreciate when I hear this from others. It's a tough one. Loneliness, and just got a positive COVID test today. So I'm in bed.
Wow.
I need soul restoration. And of course, this listener's immune system is compromised so that they would not go to fear. But I wonder if you pray for healing and peace in that precious one's heart.
Well, God, we, in these moments, when there's difficult and hard realities in our human understanding, in our view, we just tell our souls to believe that you are good, because we know that you are good, but we need to be reminded of your goodness in this moment. And I just pray that specific prayer for this person, that you would remind them of your goodness in the midst of all that is difficult. I pray that you would truly be present in the midst of circumstances that feel chaotic, overwhelming, and terrifying. I pray for healing to come in ways that we don't even know to ask for as human beings. Mm-hmm. I pray that you would do something on her behalf that would be so rich and so good that there would be no question that your glory needs to be elevated, and it is clearly seen as a result of what's happening. And I just pray for peace. I pray for peace in the mind and in the heart as they take the next right step in what feels like a very tenuous time. I pray that the solidity and the wholeness of what it means to be connected to you would be present, and that there would be a lessening and a reduction of anxiety, not out of their effort, but out of a remembering of who you are and what you've done. Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. I agree, and I pray full and complete healing from all these things.
Please.
In Jesus' name.
Please.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow, appreciate that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, let's talk about restoring the joy of our salvation. Again, one of those things you don't hear talked about enough. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Talking to Curtis Zachary. Just love this guy. He's got a book titled Soul Rest, and then a newly released devotional, 40 Days of Connecting with Christ. And the title is Finding Soul Rest. And I'm so thrilled to give this book Devo Combo away to four of you today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you don't mind, I would just love a text. Let me know the condition of your soul. What's going on in your soul? Maybe you're doing great. Maybe not so much. Love to hear from you. We'll be back in a moment. To the place. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You know, a friend once said, life has a way of lifing you. It really does, doesn't it? I don't know how you could walk through this year without feeling like it's taken some kind of toll on the soul. So we're talking about soul rest today. And if you've just tuned in, once the live show's over, it'll go up to podcast. You got to go back and listen to the whole show. I'm talking to Curtis Zachary today, and he's written a book. The book released a couple years ago, I want to say, Soul Rest. And then he just released a companion devotional, 40 Days of Connecting with Christ. And the main title is Finding Soul Rest. We've got four bundles to give away, the book and the Devo combo. Love for you, especially if you feel like I need to enter into a season of rest. I need some replenishment and some healing. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. One of the things that you say that brings rest to our soul is to restore, to remember the joy, recover the joy of our salvation.
Man, it's such an important thing. I feel like the contemporized way that we practice church so often is so centered on looking ahead and looking at how we can vision out what the future looks like. And so often we're tempted to believe that inspiration really comes from showing people a picture only of the future. But when it comes to the way of Jesus, the thing that is the most inspirational is remembering what we've been rescued from so that we will celebrate the rescuer. And it seems like a very simple premise, but I think we tend to forget sometimes. We allow the gospel to become normative. We allow it to become almost mundane. The idea that we were dead in our sins, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the idea that we've been rescued from sin and death, the idea that we will live in eternity forever has become this very normative, basic, beginner-level understanding of Christianity. Let's get on to the deeper things or the bigger and better things. And I think remembering what we've been rescued from is the thing that allows us every single day to be inspired and informed in the way that we live. The joy that comes from knowing that we were dead and now we live, remembering that every day changes our posture. It just simply does.
Yeah. Think about these ordinary men, some of them unschooled, who followed Jesus, and they went out and they met people who were demonized. And by the authority and the power Jesus entrusted to them, the demons came out of these people and they were restored to their right mind. And then imagine the disciples running back going, Jesus, like you said, the demons obey us. And Jesus' response is, don't marvel that the demons obey you. Marvel that your name is written in the book of life. That passage has arrested me so many times, Curtis, because it's like, you will receive power. You will walk in power. You're going to see the power that rose me from the grave. If you trust me and walk in it, you're going to see signs and wonders around your life. But even more important is that your name is in the book of life. And I love that you included that because I just don't hear enough about it.
Yeah, and I think what you just said about this marveling is such an important word. I think it's also important to be said the counter idea. So you have that one where, I can't believe this just happened. Look at what the demons obeyed, and it's so great. But we also know that there's stories in the Bible where we couldn't cast this one out. They didn't listen to us. They didn't know. They didn't obey what we said. And what was that? What was the distinction there? And I think it's, again, another evidence when we start to lean on our own thinking, our own understanding, our own intellect, our own best idea. We start sourcing those things, living according to that, rather than the reliance. You know, Paul, back in that 1 Corinthians idea that I was talking about earlier, you know, Paul just kept saying over and over and over again, there is a wisdom, a secret and hidden wisdom that comes only from the Spirit of God. And the thing that suppresses that in your life is that you continue to lean on your own understanding. And I think that's what remembering salvation does for us. We can never not be astounded if every single day we say, I was dead, but now I live. I was blind, but now I see. That's why Amazing Grace will never, ever be a song that people don't love and appreciate, because the simplicity of the glory of the gospel is on display in those very words.
Beautiful. I mean, being transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of God's dear son, being made a holy generation, a kingdom of priests. I mean, we do have to ponder that, because I feel like it will really relieve so many fears and anxieties when you think, I am more secure than I could ever feel. You know, I am so much more, I'm seated with Christ. So in some ways, insecurity can kind of be an illusion. We might feel insecure, but if we're in Christ, we're completely secure, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I referenced it earlier, but it's one of those verses that I certainly recommend that we put on a sticky note or write in our Bible. It's that Hebrews 6:19 verse that we need an anchor for the soul. And if you take that imagery further, you know, the wind and the waves can come. They can be as strong or as weak as they want to be, but if we are anchored, we might move a little bit further from the center point for a minute. We might feel like we're drifting, but we know that we have solidity in the certainty of what we're connected to. And I think that's what reminding ourselves of the truth of the gospel. I think, just simply said, I need to say this too, is we need to stop believing that the gospel is only for non-Christians. We think that the gospel is a message that is only for those who are far from God and need to be invited into salvation. The gospel is not just the moment of salvation. The gospel is the pathway by which we live out this life. It's the good news of the salvation that comes from Christ, not just so that when I die, I will go to heaven, but also to remind me that my life here on earth is informed and shaped by what Christ has done. Everything that is true about me now comes from the reality of the gospel. And when I go to sleep and wake up in the morning, I need to remember it again, because when I remember it again, it will change the way that I live, not out of effort and striving, but out of simple honor and remembrance of what has been true about the one who saved me.
I got to admit, my hands are up in the air right now. I'm just listening to you talk, and I want to jump up and down and put on some worship music. And maybe here's a question to think about, friend, listening today. Could the gospel and the power of the gospel be far more reaching than you once imagined? Could it be involved far more than, as Curtis saying, you know, a beginning step to salvation? It's everything. I got to read this text from Amy, and she's got a question at the end of this. She said, Susie, I hate to admit this as a believer, but I'm easily triggered to fear. Well, Amy, so am I. I just want you to know, so am I. So that's, we're in this together. She says, fear or sadness or anger with regard to current events. Often I've needed someone to remind me to go to scripture, to pray, to snap me out of my negative focus, to refocus on God's promises. I know part of this is my responsibility to steward my inputs. To borrow a phrase from you, Susie, I've had notifications turned off on my phone. I've had time limits on social media. I don't watch mainstream media. I've recommitted myself to one-on-one time with the Lord in the morning, but I feel far from him. I've prayed Psalm 139 and sincerely want to know how God wants to shape me through this turbulent time. I feel desperate to hear a word from him personally, to know that I'm his. Would your guests say that this is a matter of little faith and that someone like me would benefit from declaring truths of scripture over herself to restore her confidence? I love you, Amy. I wish I could wrap my arms around you, but I would love to hear what Curtis has to say.
Yeah, I don't think that this is an element of little faith. I think what we're seeing in our lives when we finally get to that place of vulnerability and honesty is the true picture of what needs to be restored. I think, to be completely frank, I'm super encouraged about where she finds herself in on this journey. Because, for example, if I say I want to begin to meditate in my life and meditate on the scriptures and take time of contemplation, and I say I'm going to do that for 5 minutes one day, and a minute and a half in, my mind starts racing and I start thinking about things that I need to do and I start being distracted, and then I quickly realize I couldn't even do it for 5 minutes. Now I'm at a critical point here. I can either say, well, I guess I can't do the thing that I need to do in order to be able to gain health and restoration and flourishing, or I now have a clear picture of the bottom. I have a clear picture of where we are building from, and that's an encouraging thing. And to that point, I would say what you're talking about in the way of how you are posturing and taking these next right steps with desperation to hear from God and to honor him with your posture to say, I'm ready to receive whatever you have for me, is the place where the Bible shows us God meets us. And what's crazy is he meets us in the place where it feels like, all right, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Like, I'm at that very moment where there is nothing else that I can hope for. And what I call this, and I think is, I don't call it this, what I identify this as, is the picture of the gift of lament in the Bible. When you see lament all throughout the scriptures, it's basically exactly what you just read on that text written down on the pages in the scriptures. I have no hope, God, that you're there. I don't think that you're real. I mean, these are, any listener that is listening to this, these are paraphrases from actual quotes from the Bible. I don't think you're real. I would rather take on my enemy than wait for you to try to do it. I don't know if you hear me. If you don't talk to me, I'm going to die. Like, these are things in the Bible. And what
Curtis,
we need to know is that we have permission.
I'm so sorry. We're up. You have to come back. We're at the end of the show.
Thanks for listening to this conversation.
Okay. Tuning in to Z Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.